Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't.
Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I mean, I like this song, Owner of a Lonely Heart. Is there a reason why you're playing this? Or is it just, did it just come up for you, Evan?
Oh, no, this is just like my bumps, and I really like this song.
All right. I do, too. I like it. All right, we'll roll with it. It can be pretty lonely when you're picking at 30 and not knowing, you know, who's going to be available. So that's a good segue right there. How about that, right? Got to tie that in there. Good morning to you, to everybody. Sal Capaccio with you back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you. Had a nice vacay down in Florida. Yes, it was my second time down there over the last month. I was there for the NFL owners meetings. A little bit of work. Some play as well. But this one was all pretty much pleasure and play. A lot going on, though. Went down there and just on the West Coast where I used to live. I used to live down in a little town called Englewood. You might be familiar with it. And then that's right between like Sarasota and Fort Myers. And it's also right between even more so Port Charlotte and Venice. And they have that great flight that flies right out of Niagara Falls down to Punta Gorda, which is right there, so it makes it easier. And went down there, spent time in Venice at my mother-in-law's, who still lives there. And then we drove up to Orlando on Saturday and went to Legoland, which I still love. We were going to do Disney, but it was, I mean, the prices at Disney were just like, it was sticker shock. And I know a lot of you go, and that's great. And we will at some point. Max was like, hey, I haven't done Disney in a few years. We're not like a big Disney family, but it is awesome there. And I'm like, okay. And I looked into it. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. We didn't plan for this. Let's see. So Legoland was a lot cheaper and more efficient. So we did it this time. I think we're going to do Disney maybe during the Bills bye week or something like that. That's been the thought around the household here in Capaccio household. What about you? You a Disney guy there, Evan?
Yes, I am a Disney guy. I actually, yeah. I've never in probably the last 15, 20 years, I think I've gone to Disney twice in my life. Most recent was this past summer with my girlfriend. I'll say there are definitely times of year you should go she chose August because that's usually when most of the kids are like going back to school. So that was like our window of opportunity and where things were a little bit cheaper. Like you said, it all depends on the time. And I'll tell you, I will never go to Disney without her because she knew everything and I knew nothing.
That was the other thing. So I'll get to that in a second, which is really cool. Let me wrap up my Orlando part because that was interesting. So we go to Orlando and we do Legoland and then we stay and we went out to dinner with friends and we go to this restaurant and literally right next to us at the table next to us was Bo Outlaw, who used to play for the Orlando Magic. I don't know if you know who Bo Outlaw is, but he used to play for the Orlando Magic. Apparently it was his 54th birthday because literally we were sitting there. They brought him out a cake and he said, yeah, 54. I think so. Look it up. You can see that. And sitting right there at his table celebrating with him was Ken Griffey Jr.'s wife. And I'm like, oh my God. And friends we were with knew her and knew Bo and the group, but I mean, I didn't know them. So introduced me and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm a Yankee fan, but your husband was, I didn't say I was a Yankee fan, but I am. And I was like, your husband was like my favorite baseball player growing up. I had a few favorite baseball players. I love the Yankees. I love Mattingly, Ricky Henderson, and Dave Winfield. Those were my three guys. But man, I was a Griffey guy. I love Griffey. I was a center fielder and left-handed hitter, and that's what he is, was, and man, amazing. And it just so happened, why wasn't Griffey there? Did you see the story last week, Evan? Ken Griffey Jr. was a credentialed photographer at the Masters, and he actually took some really great shots of Rory after Rory won.
I saw that. I noticed that he was talking at the Masters, and I don't know if he was saying like what he had a take that I might have heard somewhere, and I just disagreed with it. Something about that maybe golf was a lot harder of a sport than baseball, and or the, like baseball is a harder sport than golf, and I just was just like, I don't agree with that. I think golf is a lot harder. Not trying to say baseball's easy, but comparing the two, I would say golf is probably a lot more harder.
Yeah, it was it was really interesting to see. He's a credentialed photographer. I think Bernie Williams is doing that too, I believe. Former Yankee being a photographer, which is really cool. So that was great. So just got a chance to hang out and talk. And then so we go to Tampa then after that. Plan was to go to the Sabres game on Sunday night. We did that. I met up with my buddy TJ Reeves. TJ has come on the show a lot. In fact, he was on last week because he was at the Final Four and he was calling the game as part of the crew for my apologies, the radio service he works for online. And he was at the Final Four, but he's the Buccaneers sideline reporter. So we met up and went to lunch with him and his wife, but they are now his wife, I guess. So they live down there and his wife goes to Disney all the time with their twin girls. And that's when she said, listen, if you want to go, like, we'll go with you when you come down. And what you said, Evan, is right. Like, if you go with somebody who knows what they're doing, she's like, don't worry, go with us, go with me. She said, and I will make sure you have the most efficient experience and I know exactly where to go. That's the key if you're going to do something like that, if you're going to spend that kind of money.
Because, like, obviously we're not, it's not, it's like if you find someone that's familiar with the territory, that, and, you know, obviously I know you used to live in Florida, but it's a little bit different when, you know, you could be a little rusty. You don't know tendencies. And if someone's been there a lot.
Well, I haven't been to Disney in many years. So it's totally, it's not going to Florida. Disney's like its own world. You know what I mean? Literally, they have their own world. It's Epcot. So, you know, and then I get confused with which park is affiliated with Disney, which isn't. What do I buy tickets for? So all of that stuff, though, is right. And what you said is right, which is, you know, if you go with somebody who kind of knows the landscape, what they're doing. So, yeah, my buddy John Scott and Heather Prusak, his wife, they go quite often. I know Matt Perino and his family, they go. So I'll lean on them a little bit next time we do. But I think the plan is we'll see when the bill schedule comes out. We'll see the bye week. And that's what I told Max. I'm like, let's look where the bye week is. We usually go away during the bye week. It's my one time during football season to get a few days off to kind of, you know, recharge the batteries a bit. We try to go somewhere warm. Maybe that's what's going to be the plan. The NFL schedule comes out in about, what, 3-4 weeks. I mean, Mike North said between May 13th and 15th when he was on the podcast, it's always game day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove. Check it out if you haven't. It's a lot of great info there. So we'll find out when the bye week is, when it comes out then. In the meantime, before that, the reason why, people have said to me, why does the NFL wait till May to put the schedule out? Well, because we know right now that they love to own the calendar. And there was really nothing in May to own the calendar with other than rookie minicamp and some OTAs. Now it's like schedule release, because April, when they put it out in April, it was this barrage for the schedule. Then bam, you turn the page. You don't talk about it because you go to the draft. Now we don't do that. Now it's all draft. We are full steam ahead with the draft. And we are 1 week away from the NFL draft tonight. Like 1 week from tonight is the 2025 NFL draft. Now, before then, next Tuesday, we will hear from Bills GM Brandon Bean. We will also hear from quarterback Josh Allen, because the Bills start offseason workouts next Monday. I mean, next Monday, you think about it. You got next Monday, April 21st, the Bills are starting offseason workouts. That's when they can't do anything with coaches, nothing on the field, footballs. It's all conditioning work, basically. Remember, new strength and conditioning coach. Will Greenberg takes over for Eric Ciano. They hired a senior strength and conditioning coach. Barry Rubin is his name. I believe I want to make sure on that, but Barry Rubin. And they're going to, that's their time, right? Strength, conditioning, all that. That's for a few weeks. That starts on Monday. One thing we're going to be thinking about and asking about, obviously attendance, it is all voluntary, is James Cook there? Now, he doesn't have to be. A lot of times guys just aren't there anyway. It has nothing to do with their contract situation, but that's one to monitor all through these offseason workouts and OTAs and mini camps. So next Monday starts that. On Tuesday, we'll hear from Brandon Bean on the draft, Josh Allen on offseason workouts and the draft. He's kind of a draft Nick himself. And then we get to Thursday. And Thursday, it is the first round of the draft. We have basically been, you know, consuming as much as possible and getting to a point where we're all thinking about different players, different positions. I've said, and I will continue to say, as of right now, the way I look at it, if the Bills stay in their current respective spot and position, or at least something similar, it doesn't have to be exactly right, if they're going to pick three picks in the first two rounds or very early third round, because they can move around a little bit, I at this point would be surprised if it's anything other than defense with all three picks. Now, I have no idea what the Bills board looks like. Nobody knows what anybody's board looks like, right? That would be incredible to have you look at their board. I don't know. Maybe they truly have a few wide receivers really high and they say, if these guys fall, we'll take them. I'm just thinking about the way that they talk, what their actions say, what the roster looks like. That's this offseason has been really about attacking defense, except for one player on offense, Joshua Palmer. What have they done in defense? Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Dane Jackson, Derek Forrest. But two of those guys aren't even able to play the first 6 weeks. They need to continue to attack defense. Part of it is because they're so kind of set on offense. Think about their offense. And this is something that we've talked about a lot over the last few months, which is the Bills' offense has everyone returning, essentially. It's not just the, you know, it's not just the starting offensive line. It's like every single backup offensive lineman is returning. You could, the only difference from offensive line is they've added Kendrick Green, a guard. That's it, a veteran guard. Everything else is pretty much the exact same as last year. Wide receiver, they added Joshua Palmer. And for the contract they gave him, for the contract they gave Curtis Samuel last year, and I know that it hasn't worked out after 1 year, and given the fact that they used their first overall pick, which was the second rounder last year, on Keon Coleman, I just don't see a path to them taking a wide receiver that early. They went with an everybody eats mentality, and we can argue or debate how that actually worked or didn't, but the fact is the quarterback won MVP with that group. You think that they're going to think that they have to, oh my God, we're desperate there and need to add more playmakers at wide receiver or pass catcher when you already have a quarterback that won MVP with the group they had and they added Josh Palmer? I just don't think so. It doesn't make sense to me. That's why I don't think they're going to do that. But I do think they need another speedy guy, somebody that can stretch the field that, hey, you know what? We'll put this guy in the field in certain situations against certain matchups. We'll see how it goes. To me, that's day number three. So that brings me back to days number one and two. First round, day one. Second round on day two. And day two, second and third round on day two, or night two, I guess you want to say it that way. And what I've said for the last couple of weeks, I want to say it here on this show because I don't think I've said it enough or right here. I said it with Shelton Bulldog. I said it this morning again on the morning show. I think there are very good context clues on what the Bills are going to do or are looking to do. Because anything can change, right? But the context clues are when they signed Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and we found out that they're both going to be missing six games. Larry Ogunjobi, the Bills, by their own admission, Brandon Bean said, we wouldn't have signed two guys who were getting suspended if we knew that. But by the time they got to the point where they were signing Ogunjobi, and then they found out, he said they looked around and they really had no other options. They said, this is the guy because there's no other options we like out there. So they still signed him. And you can criticize Brandon Bean for that all you want. I think that's a fair criticism for the Bills to say, wait a minute, they put themselves in a position, in a box here where they didn't have any other options. That's fine. But they've made the decision then to roll with Larry Ogunjobi, miss 6 weeks. What does that leave them, folks? That leaves them Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. And Zion Logan, Branson Dean, I'm not counting them. Those are practice squad players who you hope, okay, maybe they showed something last year and they can ultimately crack the 53. Chances are less likely for that. So they have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. This is for an organization and a team that believes in rotating its defensive linemen. This is for an organization and a team that did not have enough at that particular spot last year. I'm talking about the interior against the run. By their own admission, they need more. They need more from Ed Oliver, but what they also really maybe need more of is somebody next to Ed Oliver who can help Ed Oliver. If you pair Ed Oliver with a really stout defensive tackle, one technique, a guy who plays more across between the center and guard, over the guard, Ed Oliver can be a little bit better. He's impacted by that. And Daquan Jones has been a nice player, but he wasn't quite the guy last year as he was certainly before the injury in 2023 in London. So what did he say? What did Brandon Bean say when they signed Ogunjobi? Well, we didn't love our options. Okay, now you know you're out without him 6 weeks. So what options do you have? If you don't have the option of, and you don't love the options of veteran defensive tackles, then you go draft. I mean, unless there's a trade out there you're going to make, you go draft. And what does this particular draft have? Quite a few of. And is very good as far as the depth is concerned at the position and as far as the value. Defensive linemen, specifically defensive tackles and guys, interior guys that the Bills are looking for. This is kind of, to me, I'm going to say a dream scenario because there's so much unbelievable talent that, you know, there's not... there's not Aaron Donalds and Warren Sapps just sitting out there waiting to get plucked at number 30. That's not what I'm saying. Who knows? Guys could have Hall of Fame careers. So not a dream scenario in that regard, but what it is this draft is a really, really good spot for the Bills to have need meeting value and need meeting opportunity when it comes to the draft. They're picking 30th overall. There's still going to be someone who we all kind of consensusly think, and we don't know what they think, consensus-wise, there should be someone who plays that spot, who they can take at 30, that provides value and also can step on the field. One of the things I hear from Bills fans a lot, talked about this last week before I went on vacation a little bit. One of the things I hear from Bills fans a lot is, they don't play young guys. Well, first of all, it's not true. They do play young guys, but... But I will say, they probably don't play as many young guys as other teams play. You know why? Because there's not as much opportunity on the roster for young guys to play. The roster's good. They have veterans. Who are they playing over? There's very few spots that you can draft for the Bills generally in this regime in the last several years. Since they have the success, there are very few spots every year that they can draft and just plug a guy in and he's got to play right away. I know you want that. You can't look at it like that. You can't compare the Bills playing these young players and these draft picks and as you can to other teams. Of course, a player who gets drafted by the Las Vegas Raiders is going to have a much better chance to play earlier in his career than he is by the Buffalo Bills. There's going to be more opportunity as long as they draft a guy that they need at that spot, which they should have more needs because that team has more needs and has less depth. The Bills have less needs and more depth than a lot of teams in the league. There are spots that can happen. I remember last year, this happened last year. I got crushed by a lot of you on draft night when I tweeted that I didn't think Cole Bishop would be a day one starter because, you know, that's just hard for guys to do that on this roster. Oh my God, what a wasted draft pick if he's not a day one starter. I can't believe you got to draft a second guy, safety. He's got to play right away. No, that's not how it works. You have to shift your thinking when it comes to a team like the Bills. And sure, there are spots where you say, you know what, Sal? Last year, wide receiver was one of these, right? In 2022, corner was one. But what happened in 2022? They essentially grabbed a corner for need, and he wasn't the right fit. And he wasn't the guy that they thought he'd wind up being. And he's gone now, Kyrie Elam. They did get one in the sixth round who wound up starting. You just never know how this is going to work out, but they clearly had a need there. Last year, wide receiver. But they moved back twice. They got a guy. You know what he did? Started off with, yeah, playing a little bit. Keon Coleman. And then as the season went on, started ramping it up. That's kind of how it works in this system, in this organization. That's why younger guys don't play as much. And you get mad about it. And you get frustrated about it. And you think it's some big agenda that Sean McDermott has or the organization has against young players. It's not true. There are opportunities. Christian, anytime someone brings me up, well, Kyrie Elam, he was drafted and they didn't play him. They didn't give him an opportunity. What that's so frustrating to me to hear that argument. They gave the sixth round pick in the same draft, the same opportunity, and he beat him out. You can't have it both ways. Osiris Torrance was drafted in the second round. He started every single game his rookie year. You'll get the opportunity, but it's hard. It's hard for these guys to come in and do that. So this gets us back to defensive tackle, wide receiver, especially there, corner, which I think they still need to find somebody. But how much can that guy play? And maybe you find a corner like you did with Christian Benford, like you thought you'd have with Kyrie Elam. I just think defensive tackle, defensive line, especially interior defensive tackle, is the area where you'll find with this team, the way they're constructed, them having the best ability in this draft to find someone at 30 who fits the value of the player and the need of the team. And that's why I'm holding on to, that's where they'll go. They have three defensive linemen right now on the roster who you can say are going to make the 53 and be a part of the rotation. Three. Now, they a lot of times only dress four. And maybe you get one of it, but you got to have more. You have to add to that spot. And it's a spot where you can actually play right away on this team. As opposed to, and why I just went through all that, as opposed to a lot of other spots, it's a spot you can actually play right away. I just don't think that's happening at wide receiver. You could be mad and say, well, that doesn't make sense to me, Sal. Why are they holding someone back over Keon Coleman or Curtis Samuel? But just look at how they do it. My job here, I always tell people this, like people accuse and say, oh my God, you defend or whatever with the team. I always just try to give you the team's perspective. And that's my job to me. It doesn't have to be to tell you, like, it doesn't matter what I think, right? I can give you my opinion on what they should do. That's fine. But at the end of the day, I think what you want to know is how do they operate? What are they thinking? And this is my read on it. My read is they're going to go defensive tackle early in this draft. And I think they're going to draft two defensive linemen out of those first three picks and one corner. And to bridge this point and get us to another spot, they had James Bradbury in for a visit this week, right? Did that happen yet, Evan? Did Bradbury come in? I'm sorry. I saw yesterday when I got back from vacation, saw that Bradbury was coming in, but he already came in, or is he coming in? What was that?
I know that he came in for a visit.
Okay, came in for a visit. Okay, came in. So it's not future. It's not like he's coming in today. I wanted to make sure I had it right. I think he came in for a visit. Anyway, the point I'm making is when you get a guy like Bradbury, who's already 31 years old, you still have Rasul Douglas out there, Stephon Gilmore out there, Tre'Davious White out there, I think Kendall Fuller out there. Like, there are names. There are veteran names. You might not love those names, but to me, it is the opposite for the Bills, the way they are thinking, than defensive tackle. At defensive tackle, it's, we don't have any options. We got to draft somebody. At corner, it's, yeah, we're going to draft somebody, but we have a few other options that we can bring in to help that position. And that's why I don't think it's such a... That's why I think they can afford more to, or at least they feel that they will can afford to wait maybe a round or two on corner. If I had to pick right now, I think it's defensive tackle, corner, and then either defensive tackle or edge maybe. That's how I think it goes. I threw a question out on Twitter. I'd like you to respond. At Sal Sports. And that is getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Here is the question I threw out on Twitter. Is there a player that you've warmed up to right now and or a player you've cooled off on right now? Somebody you really like that maybe you didn't, or you just, like, you just gone through the process. You're like, hey, you know what? I really like this guy. I think the Bills should look at him. Is there a player that you've kind of cooled down on? A guy that you're like, I just hope they don't go with that guy. That was Keon Coleman for a lot of you last year. Or maybe you liked him, and it's kind of starting to go the other way a little bit. So hit me up on Twitter, at Sal Sports, on X, whatever you want to call it there. That's all the social handles. Of course, go to YouTube, at Sal Sports on YouTube. Just hit the 12,000 subscriber threshold. So thank you so much for all of you who are coming over and watching. It's always game day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove and a lot of other stuff. I really appreciate that. Check it all out there. In the meantime, we got to talk Sabres a little bit today, so we're going to do that next with Paul Hamilton. Sabres wrap up their season tonight at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. So Sabres tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers, 7 p.m. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Pregame at 6 here on WGR. At 11 a.m. today, I'm going to talk with Josh Reed. We'll get his read on all of this. WIVB-TV Channel 4 Sports Director. I'm going to be involved on some TV shows with Josh and the crew at Buffalo Kickoff Live. We're starting that today. Josh will give you more of the info, but we'll have a good radio conversation about the Bills and the draft at 11 a.m. Good to be back with you today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton up next on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, it's not like we're not going to hear from Paul after today, but it's always, I guess, a sad day in Buffalo when you realize the hockey season's come to an end, and we've been here way too many times before. It is the end of the season, the final game for the Buffalo Sabres after an 82-game season. They play the Philadelphia Flyers tonight at home. Puck drops at 7, pregame here at 6 on WGR, and of course you can follow Paul as you have all season long and continue to do so at PHAM1717 at WGR550.com. He joins me now on the West Hur Hotline. Paul, give me one word or phrase to sum up this Sabres season for you.
Underachieve. Simple as that.
Yep.
You know, they. I mean, even what they're doing now, they went on like a 6 or 7 week where they're winning hockey games. They're playing the game the right way. If they had a blip along the way, the next game they were fine. It looked like they had turned a bit of a corner as a team. And now all of a sudden, here we are at a 4-game losing streak. Poor Lindy Ruff. He's been on win number 899 now for four games. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure the team is hoping they could get him number 900 before this season ends tonight. So, he's been sitting on that one. But it just, you know what these 4 games have shown is there's still a lot of work to be done. Have they made some progress? Yes, I think they have. I'm not trying to say that those 6 or 7 weeks don't matter. I think they do. I think they proved to themselves that they can be a pretty darn good team when they put their mind to playing the game the right way and playing the way Lindy Ruff wants them to be. But the last 4 games have shown they're not there yet. You know, there's still work to be done. They're still not a good team because these things keep happening. Jason Zucker was beside himself the other night talking about it. He goes, yeah, we played 50 minutes. So what? The game's 60 minutes. And we got to learn how to stop doing this. We got to learn how to stop winning 5 in a row, then losing 4 in a row. He goes, it's been what we've been doing all year. And he goes, this has to stop. And we have to learn that, you know, how to get over this and get by this. And he's right.
And it just, though, when he says that, I hear another guy who, well, it's not on him for the last 14 years, but he's also part of this group. And it's all that same spin cycle we get into, Paul, which is, everybody saying the same thing every year, and then new group comes in and they say it, and how do you fix it? I'm not really sure. How much different, and we don't have to get into specifics here, but do you really expect like any big overhaul of this roster, like maybe a major player getting shifted and maybe being out or a major player coming in? Do you think that it's just a few minor tweaks here and there? I mean, I don't know what they can do given the restraints of no movement clauses and things like that too.
for 2 years now or more, you know, they've been trying to, you know, find a guy to play with Owen Power, a veteran guy who has his back in all situations, takes care of him, and lets him go and do his thing. And to get a veteran like Tuck, like Zucker, to play in the top six. They've got those guys, but they need more. This team is just too many young players who are up and down and up and down, and they miscalculated. They gave guys contracts that probably shouldn't have gotten them when they got them, some of them. And they've learned their lesson. They had four or five guys they could have given contracts to the last offseason. None of them got them. So I think they figured out that maybe we jumped the gun here on a couple of guys, and we probably shouldn't have. They were, you know, guys weren't even getting 100 games in the American Hockey League except for Kulik. I mean, they just weren't developing collectively. There was just a rush to get them up here because, well, it's been 12 years. Well, now it's been 13, and now it's been 14, and we got to stop this, and we got to, you know, develop our players quickly, and it's blown up in their face. So, you know, they have to get some veteran guys. This team has to stop being the youngest team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Even though they've played a lot of games, they've got to get some veterans in here who can play hockey, who are good hockey players that can help them get over these types of humps, who can help them make sure they don't lose 13 in a row or have a 13-game winless streak, however you want to call it. I mean, 13 games, less than a month, blew their season up. They go from third place in the division, 2 points out of second, to last in the conference in less than 4 weeks. And that's crazy. That is just crazy that something like that would happen. And it's crazy you had a GM that froze, that did absolutely nothing during those 13 games. And as said, that maybe he was wrong there. Maybe he should have, you know, now. So he's doubting himself, and a GM who has watched his team digress instead of progress is going to get a sixth year, and that I don't understand either.
Are you confident in that, Paul?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Terry Pegula, he changes his mind at the snap of fingers, and Jason Botterill is a perfect example. Nobody thought he was going to be let go, especially after Kim Pegula came out and said, you know, we know things that you don't know about Jason Botterill, and, you know, gave him a vote of confidence that he was staying, and less than a month later he was gone, with Terry coming out and saying, which, by the way, is the last time he spoke to the hockey media, came out saying, we feel we're not being heard. And that was the end of Jason Botterill. So things can always change in his mind. He's that way. But as of today, I do not think he's planning on changing either the coach or the general manager.
So you and I have always been on the same wavelength of, okay, who cares? It's not about draft picks and all that. But I do want to point out that because of what you said about they don't need to get younger, they're going to pick either 6th, 7th, or 8th, it looks like, if my math is correct. If they lose tonight, it could be 6th. If they win tonight, it could be 8th. Either way, let's just say they're 7th. I'm all aboard, Paul. What you just said is right. I don't care. Just trade the damn pick and get some players in here, right? I mean, like what else do they don't need to keep stockpiling young draft picks here.
Absolutely. And I understand it takes two to trade. I get it. I get it's hard. I get there are restrictions. I know people talk about the palm trees. Well, the restrictions are real. What it is people don't want to come to a team that hasn't made the playoffs 14 years in a row. That's what it is.
Right.
When Breer and Drury were here, they had no trouble getting players here. The Buffalo Bills, now that they have Josh Allen and a winning and Sean McDermott here, they don't have trouble getting players. When they hadn't been in the playoffs for 17 years, well, I'm sure players didn't want to come here either. So that's
right,
the
Paul. Can I just say, and I think you'll agree with me when I say this. Is it fair to say Kevin Adams may have said it wrong and it came out wrong and it didn't sound good? We all know that, and he deserves kind of criticism for that and saying it. He wasn't totally wrong what he was trying to say.
No, he wasn't wrong.
What he's trying to say is, listen, you got to give them a reason to come here, because otherwise, why would you come to a place where there are higher taxes? You can live in warmer weather. You win, that's the reason you would want to come here then, and then it takes care of everything else.
And if you do win, they will want to come here, and that's the key to the whole thing. But it's still, I know it's hard, but it's still his job. It's his job to get these trades done, and he's had a couple of years to get these bigger trades done. And it's all also he's made some good trades. It's not all bad. You know, McLeod was a good trade.
Yeah.
You know, getting Alex Tuch here, you know, doing the best he could in the Reinhardt and Eichel trades. You know, those aren't easy trades when you have star players who say, I don't want to be here anymore. Well,
I don't think Byram's a bad deal with Mittelstadt. Yeah.
Byram is a great deal for them. Yeah. So it's not like everything is bad. I think it's more of the fact is he didn't get the whole thing done. He got part of the job done. Were they harder to play against with Malenstein? Yes. Lafferty didn't work out the way I thought it would. Malenstein has. McLeod has. Signing Jason Zucker has worked out. I think the Greenway deal or trade has worked out. Greenway brings things to the team when he's healthy, and that's key, that other players don't. His anticipation to forcing turnovers and those types of things is something that he does very well. But I think the whole key to the thing is he didn't go far enough. You know, he talked about, you know, he was willing to trade that pick last year. And it was like, well, we kind of almost had a deal, but the other team wouldn't trade him. And he said, and that player hasn't been traded. Guess what? That player's been traded. You know, at the time he said it, he hadn't been. But later in the year, he was traded to the Colorado Avalanche. So things can change. And that's the thing. You got to find a way to get it done, even when it's hard.
Paul's appearances here on WGR, as always, are brought to you by... I'm going to grab it right here. There you go, Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda... Relax, we got this. Okay, Paul, what is the situation short and, well, I guess it doesn't matter now, short term, there's one game, but really long term here, what do we know or think we know about Owen Power?
Kevin Adams told Shope and the Bulldog that I believe he's in New York today getting another opinion. So maybe we'll know more when Adams speaks on Saturday about what, you know, where that's going to be headed and what kind of rehab is going to be in on that. So, you know, he's busy doing that today. I would tend to doubt we'll get a chance to talk to him on locker cleanout. I don't know that for sure. But as I said, we get to talk to Adams. And by the way, we will have local programming on WGR Saturday. Kevin Adams will probably speak somewhere between 4 and 5:30, I would think. What the holdup is, you know, they're interviewing players, the coach and the general manager. They don't know how long they're going to be talking to players. It could be an hour. Mm-hmm. It could be 5 minutes. So, you know, they're hoping to have Kevin Adams with us by 4:30, but you just never know. But we will have local programming on, and we will be bringing everybody those interviews on Saturday later, because usually Sports Talk Saturday ends at 2 o'clock. It will end after Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams speak, which, again, might be 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in there.
Okay, but is it a possibility this could be into next year, this kind of injury, whatever he has?
Kevin told Shope and the Bulldog that he should be ready to play next year. He should be ready for when the season starts. So that was his comment on that. It sounds like, you know, Josh Norris, if this was a playoff game today, mm-hmm. would be playing. Mm-hmm. Lindy Ruff said he's feeling much better, but he's not playing. He said that last game. Meaning, why do it? Why chance it? You know, he's feeling better. What's the point of putting him out there for a game or two and chancing it? Let's just start fresh next year. That's what I took out of that.
I agree with you. It feels to me like both Norris and Greenway were kind of just shut down for the year for that same reason, right?
They ran out of games. I mean, if there were still 3 weeks left in the season, I think Josh Norris would be out there. But with just a game or two, I just think they looked at what is the point. Let's just start fresh next year.
Want to ask you about Lindy Ruff before we go. You've known Lindy a long time. And, you know, you covered him here in Buffalo. I remember we both watched him play here in Buffalo. You covered him as a player. You covered him as a coach. He comes back. And he said, and he was pretty direct when he was asked the other day. He said, I'm disappointed. I mean, in the season, the result of the season, I'm disappointed. There was a thought that maybe he'd get this team to the playoffs and walk away into the sunset or maybe go into a different role. I know we've talked, Paul, about the fact that it feels pretty clearly here now that he's coming back. Just give me a sense of what you think about Lindy as a person and competitor and where his mind is right now with everything.
And Kevin Adams did say the other day that Lindy Ruff is coming back. So
okay, thank you.
He was very definitive in that. But yeah, Lindy is extremely upset. He hasn't fixed this yet, or it took too long. You know, where they started playing, mm-hmm. it was too late in the season for it to matter, and that really upsets him, and I think it really drives him. I wasn't sure until the last couple times I've heard him talk about it, and he talks about it almost with venom in his voice, like, I did not get this team where it needs to be, and it's unfinished business. And I know he wants to provide this area. This is his home, and it's been his home even as coach of the Stars and coach of the Devils. And he wants to bring a winner to this city. And it really upsets him that this year went the way it did. And so I think he definitely wants to be back. And Kevin Adams did say he would be back.
All right, Paul. Iowa State. Who's the guy that looked like Iowa State? There was a guy I looked at Iowa State the other day. I'm like, you know, oh, the Jaden corner? Higgins? What do you mean by him? You got Jaden Higgins, wide receiver. Great. Yeah, you like him, right?
Yeah, he's always open, and when he's not, he still makes a play for you. He really competes for the ball. So, Rocco Becht knew he could throw it near the end zone or if he needed a first down. Even if Higgins was covered, he's big enough that he could get the ball to him. He's not like a speedster, but he can get open like on patterns downfield. You know, all of a sudden, you're thinking, boy, he can't fly, but look at, he shook his man and he's open. It just seemed like he was always there for him. That would be a guy I definitely would, I think is going to be a good NFL player and somebody I think the Bills should be interested in now. And, of course, the corner that he was just
Darian Porter.
In.
That's what my next one. I love Darian Porter. I think Darian Porter fits everything for the Bills. Checks all the boxes. 6'3", runs sub 4.440. Really good athlete. I think that's a kid that if the Bills were to draft Darian Porter in round two, I'd be really happy with that.
And teams used to look away from him when he was out there a lot.
Yeah. Love it. All right, Paul. Well, I'll let you get back to work. All right, what is the schedule? Tomorrow, right away, locker clean-out? Is that how this works?
Yeah, about 10 o'clock we'll get started, and we're just in the room the whole time. And just so people know, I'm going to try to get some interviews to you guys as quickly as I can while you're on the air before noon. So hopefully you'll be able to get some guys on talking at locker clean-out tomorrow.
All right, Paul. Thanks for all your outstanding coverage all year, but we'll talk again. Thanks for today.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton right there. Yeah, Sabres wrap it up tonight. Hard to believe. I remember, opening season. Here we go. Lindy, let's go. But that was out in Europe, right, when they played and didn't go very well. First two games. They come back. They play a good game at home but lose and score one goal. And then, first three games, one goal, one goal, one goal, I think, each of the first three, right, if I remember correctly, New Jersey, L.A. And then they won a couple of games, started to feel a little bit better, or at least, one bounced back a little bit, and then it just never got on track the way it should have. And as Lindy said, and as Paul said about what Lindy thinks, just he never could fix it on time. And he's upset about that, and he's disappointed, and everybody's disappointed. Another year, here we go, right? So we'll see what happens, but immediate stuff is tonight, game against the Flyers. You wrap it up, it's fan appreciation night tonight. And then, of course, locker clean out tomorrow. And then they look forward to free agency and the draft. We will take a timeout. We are looking forward to the draft, the NFL draft, that is, 1 week from tonight. Josh Reed, WIVB-TV Channel 4 Sports Director, joins me at 11 a.m. here after this quick segment when we come back on WGR. All right, going to get to Josh Reed coming up at 11 a.m. We had some news come over today that Lee Corso, the iconic ESPN broadcaster, I'm reading from Grok right here. I looked at the story. I think this is the AI. Iconic ESPN broadcaster. I think that's right. Anyway, Lee Corso, you know him. Legend in the broadcasting industry. College football game day. Former coach, but really known for being a broadcaster. The headgear, he wears the headgear. that made it famous. He will retire after the show's week one episode, it says, on August 30th, 2025. So, man, he's been on since 1987. Amazing. What a great career. He is fun and entertaining, but obviously, over the last few years, you can see that he hasn't been quite himself and the same, but when he's been on there, it's still great to watch because he loves college football so much. Loves getting into what he's saying and wearing the headgear and all that. So we're going to miss him, no doubt.
I'm a Lee Corso fan, but he is going to be retiring after the very first show this week, week one, which will be August 30th of this year. Josh Reed comes up next from WIVB TV Channel 4, the sports director there. We are going to be doing some TV shows over the next couple of weeks, including today. He'll tell you a little bit more about that and where you can find it. And then leading up to the draft and then post-draft over on Channel 4 on Buffalo Kickoff Live. So we'll talk draft. We'll talk about the TV shows, but I'll get his thoughts and we'll hear his thoughts on what the Bills may do, where they may go, what they'll be looking at, as well as, oh yeah, little NBA playoffs with Josh. He's a Cleveland Cavaliers guy. They got the number one seed in the East. We'll talk with him about all of that when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
There's some good deep threats here. I mean, Jalen Noel, I've seen him get downfield. Iowa State receiver, Kyle Williams. These are both guys who could go off second, third round. Not the biggest guys, but they have that extra gear to kind of to pull away from people. And some of that is also going to help Josh and James Cook and, you know, that hidden value of a deep threat, what it does to a defense when you play them.
All right, that's Eric Edholm. He was on with Jeremy and Joe this morning. Of course, you can catch all of our interviews on demand at WGR550.com and, of course, on the Odyssey app. It is that time of year. I'm not talking about the NFL draft. I'm talking about Buffalo Kickoff Live, talking about the NFL draft. And Josh Reed, sports director at Channel 4, joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Well, buddy, we're here. We've made it, I guess, through a part of the offseason to get to the exciting stuff, I guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, we last time I think we actually saw each other in person was that Indianapolis? Has it been that long?
Yeah, it has. That's right. Almost 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. We were hanging out there and made it through that whole process to get to kind of where we are now. And that's 1 week from today when the first round of the draft rolls around. And I'm sure you, like myself and a bunch of your listeners, have done about 3,000 of these mock draft simulator things just to kind of get a feel of not only what the Bills will do, but I also find it interesting to kind of look around at what other teams in the league that, you know, these simulators believe they'll lean toward and everything. So, you know, those are fun, a fun little kind of process and exercise.
Okay, so we just heard Eric at home there, and I said to my listeners earlier, let's see if you or I are on the same page on this or if you disagree with me. I just think wide receiver is not really in play for the Bills. Now, unless, of course, they really love someone who falls down, right? Okay, go ahead.
No, you can stop right there. I agree with you completely. And there's several layers to this, right? One of them is you draft a receiver really high. I mean, what's it say about your last two top picks? You know, you drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round, and then with your first pick last year, you took Coleman. I mean, at some point, I get it, man. A lot of people want them just keep throwing darts at it and keep throwing. But at some point, if this is going to be successful, Keon Coleman's got to figure it out, and so does Dalton Kincaid. They just do. They have to take that next step. And I think that the Bills are putting the pressure on those two to do that. I don't know. I'm with you. Like, I don't think we'll see a receiver in those top three picks, the first round or the two in the second round. I just don't think it's a huge, I don't think they believe it's a huge necessity. Now, if they're going to do that, then go all out. Go all out and trade up in the first round. And I don't mean trade up two picks. I mean trade up and go get the stud, go get Matthew Golden, or go get one of these guys that may go, around 18, 19, 20, and just go all in. But I don't think that's a scenario that plays out. I don't even think that's even on their bingo board. I don't think the Bills are looking at that as a priority.
I mean, weren't they emboldened by this, by having a quarterback win most valuable player with a lesser receiving core as it was? I mean, why, to me, it's almost like a wasted asset if it makes sense like that.
I think that it's so easy to get enamored with, positions like wide receiver. Yes. And when you have Josh Allen and the idea of, okay, well, 30 points a game wasn't enough last year. What about 40? Right. Well,
right.
How about, you know, keep in mind, like, it wasn't that long ago that the season ended and everyone said, you know, they got to figure it out defensively. Okay. Well, that still hasn't changed. They haven't played a game since that Kansas City game when we all went, well, they got to figure it out defensively. They still have to figure it out. And then what happens? The Super Bowl happens, and it drives home the idea even more that the only way to get by Kansas City is to load up on defensive linemen, is to just be able to get after the quarterback. Well, that doesn't – wide receiver doesn't help you do that. Like, it's just – I feel like it's so easy to kind of fall back into that mindset of, man, Josh is special. And look, Josh is special right now. He just won the MVP, to your
point.
That's right. He doesn't need He doesn't need another second-round draft pick to – you know, I mean, what's the point differential offensively in adding a wide receiver in the second round? Now – you could talk me into trading, you know, if they wanted to trade way up in the first round and go get one of these three elite guys. Now, I'm not even including Travis Hunter in that conversation because he's going to Cleveland. So they're not getting up to the second overall pick.
I agree.
But yeah, I just say I'm with you. I think this is good. I prepare yourself mentally to see three defensive players go in their first three picks.
It's funny you mentioned that about Travis Hunter. I have, in the BKL mock draft, I have the Browns. I could have really thrown a wrench and gotten you mad not taking Travis Hunter, but I'm taking Travis Hunter. I'm just spoiling it right now. He's going to the Browns, I think.
Come on. Growing up a Browns fan, I know that there's a good chance they screw this up. There's a good chance they find a way to mess this up. And here's the thing. You're talking about arguably – one of the top five players on offense in the draft, and arguably one of the top five players in defense on the draft. If the Browns don't take him second overall, nothing would surprise me with the Browns, but I mean, this seems like the most no-brainer thing that you could possibly imagine. In the talk of him, you know, I want to play both ways or I'm not going to play. Fine. He's one of your best players. I mean, outside of Miles Garrett, he's your second best player on defense immediately. And offensively, he's probably your best player on offense immediately.
Just put him at quarterback. He might be better than what they have already there, Josh. Let's be honest, all right? I mean, who knows, right? He's Travis Hunter. He can do everything. All right, let's get back to what the Bills should do, though, and what we think they will do. So I think both of us are on the same wavelength here. It's defense, and I think particularly – it's D-line before corner, and I think they go three picks on defense. I'd be surprised they go offense at all, but I think they concentrate more on D-line, especially with the suspensions to Ogunjobi and Hoyt and where they are right now with the roster.
Yeah, I've swayed back and forth on this, on whether or not I think it'll be cornerback first or defensive tackle first. And initially, my thought was defensive tackle. Like, I really kind of was like, really, really digging into the defensive tackles, and I liked a lot of the ones I saw that, you know, were kind of projected to be there when the Bills were drafting, and I thought, oh, they could hold off in the second round and pick up one of the cornerbacks that I also really thought, you know, could play and come in and start right away. And then I started to swing over to the cornerback side of things and was like, you know, you start seeing more and more the defensive tackles that I like, and I'll tell you, one of them is Michigan's Kenneth Grant. From day one, we do these 30 and 30 draft prospect preview things, and he is one of the ones that I did. And I watched his tape, and holy smokes, Mason Graham is going to be a top 10 pick, the defensive tackle from Michigan. Well, the guy standing right next to him was Kenneth Grant, and I'm telling you, if you watch these two play, Mason Graham is a special talent. Kenneth Grant's a big reason he was a special talent. I mean, this guy was eating up blocks. He is just a monster. And all I kept picturing was, this is what Ed Oliver needs next to him. But that's all I kept was, this is a guy that makes Ed Oliver better immediately. And this is a guy who's going to keep your linebackers like Terrell Bernard clean. Like he's going to make sure that they don't get touched and they can run around and make plays. But now you're starting to see some, and who knows why, at this point, right? How do players start sliding in mock drafts? Like, it's so confusing. Nothing has happened. Zero has happened in the last 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, Kenneth Grant went from, oh, the Bills may actually have to trade up in the first round to get a guy like him, to, oh, no, he might be there when they draft in the second round. I'm like, how? How's that possible? And, you know, it's smoke screen season, as we all know. But so I've gone kind of back and forth on that. Look, I think it's just kind of – I know Bills fans are not going to want to hear this. I think there's a potential where they're sitting there and there's two cornerbacks and two defensive tackles on the board, and they value them kind of the same. And they go, and I, you know, the team that I think is, speaking of the Cleveland Browns, that I think would be a really good trade partner with the Bills is Cleveland, because they'd only have to go back to 33. So, and then all of a sudden, now the Browns, if they want to get the quarterback in the first round, say they go Travis Hunter, they want to get back in that first round. Now they can get a quarterback on a first round contract. You get that extra year out of it, which is obviously helpful in the development of the quarterback. And now you're only sliding back a couple spots. And if you have a couple of guys graded around the same, and then maybe you can find a way into the third round. Because to me, that is where, if the Bills are going to do wide receiver, to me, that is the sweet spot in the third round. I think the problem is they're not in that round. They got a couple of four, you know, a couple of fours, and then they're in the fifth, and it's like, but finding that third round pick, and let's face it, if they can go cornerback, defensive tackle, I think they will. The other spot, Sal, and I want to get your take on this, because there's a safety in this draft class that I am enamored with, Andrew Mukuba from Texas. This guy literally looks like he's shot out of a rocket. I mean, he hits so hard, flies around, makes plays on the ball. Just, you look at him and go, oh my, he looks like everything that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich want in a safety. I mean, it's just like, wow, you team him up with, in the long haul, with somebody like Cole Bishop, whew, you know, might have yourself a tandem there for, you know, 7-8 years. But I want to get your take on this. I just feel like as much as I'm enamored with him, I feel like the Bills are pretty comfortable with their safety spot going into the season, right?
I feel very similar to safety as I do at wide receiver, a little less degree, but very similar. And that is this, which is there are definitely some very talented and fits for the Bills at safety. But I have watched for 8 years that Sean McDermott has been the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and all of those 8 years, they've basically trotted out guys that they are very comfortable with at the position and not just bringing guys to start from day one. You draft a safety that high, you better have a plan for him to play on the field right away. Josh, I got crushed last year tweeting out that I said, I like Cole Bishop, I don't think he's starting week one. And people went after me online saying, that's ridiculous, that's a wasted pick. It is not, because that's not how the Bills operate, and we saw it. And I know he had an injury. Maybe he would have wound up playing more. I get it. But what do the Bills do? They get guys who understand systems. They get veterans. Every time they need a player, it's bringing DeMar Hamlin back. It's bringing Cam Lewis in to play safety and keeping him around. It's bringing guys like, who was the guy? Dean Marlowe back a couple of years ago. Kurt Coleman. That's just something they don't do. I just don't think it's, as much as you might love safeties, we all do, there's some guys who could fit. I just don't think it's how they operate to do something like that right now.
Yeah, that's why, as much as I keep going, oh man, you know, and I know a lot of, you know, there are Notre Dame fans everywhere, and, you know, and I watch the Xavier Watts stuff, and he looks like he's pretty productive, looks like he can play, you know, safety and stuff, and a lot of Bills fans are like, oh, you know, in that second round, one of those second round picks, not, I just can't get there. I can't envision. I'm not saying it would be a bad pick, but I just can't get my brain to the point where I'm going, yeah, the Bills are going to use one of the second rounders on a safety. I mean, I can see them going defensive line, cornerback, you know, I'm not saying in that order. It could be cornerback, defensive line, whatever. I could see them going with two defensive linemen and a cornerback. Yep. And I tell you, I don't know what your thoughts are. I believe that linebacker is a sneaky play in this draft. I do. And
which
I'm not saying
which linebacker? Like something for like a Matt Milano position, a Will, or more of a middle?
Yes, and there's two, in mind. Yes, and there's two in mind. Jeffrey Bosa out of Oregon and Poop Hall out of Ole Miss. Those two guys, you watch them and you read everything about them and you hear them speak at the combine and you go, man, these guys, they've got it figured out. And then you read the description of the way they play and the weakness, quote unquote, that from scouts, undersized. I went, well, that's never been a weakness for this coaching staff, right? It's not for linebackers. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, like, undersized isn't a thing. They went, hey, you know what? Well, we want an athletic guy. Both of them are super athletic, and both are known for their coverage skills. Well, I mean, they just seem like, look, once again, I'm not saying with their top three picks, but you get into round four, I think linebacker is a spot that they are going to really, and it's a little bit of a convenience pick, but with the way they reworked Matt Milano's contract, I know that Dorian's there, but, you know, Dorian's only got 1 year after this season left on his contract. Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that? Right? So he's got.
That is correct. He's going into his third year, so he's got this year and next. Look, I think this question and that you pose is a really good one because do they – now, I asked Brandon Bean at the owners' meetings, like, does this mean that, like, Matt is no doubt, like, you'll move on after this year? And he really threw water on that, and you would expect him to, but he said no. He said, we could definitely still bring Matt back, but, you know, obviously he only has 1 year left in his deal now. You have Dorian with two. I think this comes down to what you feel about Eddie Ulofosio, too, right? And, like, they drafted him last year. They have him. Now he wasn't a high pick, but how do you feel like he's coming along? And I do think there's space for this. I agree with you. Joe Andreessen at middle linebacker is your backup right now. I think he beats out Baylen Specter due to the injuries. So it is a spot where you probably need a little more depth. And considering, you know, the kickoffs, Josh, now that there are going to be more returns, this is a spot where they'll probably concentrate on bringing someone in for special teams as well as to play linebacker in that position.
Yeah, and off the top of my head, I don't remember Poop Hall. I remember Bosa being a guy who played a ton of special team snaps. So once again, we're not talking about, you know, one of their first three picks overall, but we're talking about fourth, fifth round kind of guys, but guys who they could get, you know, let's face it. Look where they picked some of these linebackers in the past. I mean, they're all middle round guys and they've developed them into really good NFL starting linebackers. And I think they could do it again in this draft. I just think that that's a position. And I think the position we're all going to be watching closely is what do they do at running back? Because if and where they take a running back in this draft, I think we'll say a lot about how they feel about James Cook and where that is headed, what direction that's headed. Once again, don't think they're going to do anything with those first three picks. But if suddenly they use a fourth rounder on a running back, I mean, right?
We're talking.
I mean, you got to go.
We're talking.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, they did it last year at Ray Davis, and he obviously had a role. They did bring Ty Johnson back. They have five running backs in the roster right now. They're the exact same five as they brought to camp last year. Josh Reed on the Western Hotline. By the way, Poop Paul, Chris Paul Jr. Not related to Chris Paul, the basketball player, though, in case anybody was wondering. And since you brought up the position, I'll ask you, and since you guys also talk a lot and carry and are the official station for UB football, what about Sean Dolak? What do you think his chances are of getting drafted, and would he be a fit for what you're talking about here in Buffalo?
You know, I had a chance to chat with them most recent at the Call to Courage event, Frank Reich's event. Mm-hmm. So he was actually honored. And it was the first time, I believe it was the first time ever. I know they don't do it usually, but I think it was the first time they've ever honored a college player at it. And it was Sean. And it was really cool to see. You know, they got to stand up and wave and, you know, they ran down all of his accolades and that took 5 minutes in itself. And they had a little highlight reel of him up and It was cool to look around the room because it just so happened that Joe Brady's table was right in front. So I was up front, you know, because I was part of this panel that spoke. And so I was up front, kind of raised up on the stage. And it was interesting to see Joe Brady with him and a table with a couple other Bills assistant coaches were sitting right in front of me. And it was interesting to see Joe Brady watch Sean Dolak's highlights, because there were a couple of times where you could see him kind of nod and go, "Whoa, wow, that was pretty good." You know, I thought that was pretty, it was pretty fun to kind of watch that take place. But I didn't get a chance to talk to Sean after the award ceremony and everything was over, the banquet was over. And I asked him, I said, "You know, you're in a position right now where, you know, you're going to be a day three pick, you know, more than likely." I said, "You know, but you hear a lot of times guys say, you know, you're better off not getting drafted. Then you could be an undrafted free agent, kind of pick where you want to go." I said, what are your thoughts on that? What, you know?" And I thought his answer was very truthful, because he said, "Look, I believe in that. I believe that it is kind of get a chance to go to a place where maybe you think you have a better chance of making the roster." And he goes, "But at the same time, you get drafted, they have stock in you at that point. They have something invested in you, you know?" And he goes, "So that, and, you know, hearing your name called." I was like, "Hey, good on you, man. Like, that's so truthful. I mean, right. Getting your name called, like, I understand the whole long-term part of it. And, you know, if you sign as an undrafted free agent, you may get to pick a better spot. But, yep. I mean, you get to hear your name called on draft day. I don't care what round it is. I don't care what pick it is. That'd be so cool for him."
Josh, you also get a 4-year guaranteed rookie contract.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, that's a great point. He didn't mention that, but I'm sure that was in the back of his head.
Right. Now, look, after 3 years, you know, it's different. You're undrafted, then teams have to match, and you become a restricted free agent. You could make more money eventually, but it's a 4-year guaranteed rookie contract if you get drafted in the NFL. And look, I mean, most careers last less than 4 years, so you're making kind of generational wealth, and you know that, and you're kind of set up for a long time. Before I let you go, I'm not going to talk about Yankees Guardians. That's down the road. They're both on a collision course here again, having some nice seasons. But man, your Cavaliers, we talked a while back when they were off to their hot start, and they just kept it rolling, buddy. Now they're the number one seed in the East. They're taking on the winner of the play-in game, which is now going to be Heat against Hawks, 10 against 8. How do you handicap their chances in a really, really good East, including obviously a terrific Celtics team?
Yeah, I think it's just going to come down to, do they have enough to get past the Celtics? I mean, they make the trade, you know, at the trade deadline, and they pick up the wing that they felt like they needed. They made the trade with the Atlanta Hawks and bring in Hunter. And it's like, okay, they feel like this is the guy that defensively gives them the chess piece that they need to match up with Tatum. And, you know, all the athletes that the Celtics have, that's really the kind of stumbling block, if you will. I think that's the team that it all comes down to beating them. And look, you know, Donovan Mitchell has been streaky in the playoffs. Darius Garland was terrible last year in the postseason. Terrible. This year he has been so good. And Donovan Mitchell even admitted that, you know, he got a new contract this offseason. Remember, everybody's like, "Oh, what's he going to do? He's definitely going to leave Cleveland, probably go to the Knicks." And he signs long-term with the Cavs. And he even mentioned it in a couple of his press conferences and things that I watched. Was it took a lot off of him. He said that he's more relaxed now. He's just playing freer. They're more fun as a team. That cloud's not kind of hanging over them as a team. And you could, they're a fun team to watch. And it's not just because it's my favorite team.
Oh,
they're fun. They play.
They're
the
very
right
fun
way
to watch.
They have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun to watch. They're talented. It's been a really nice, you know, season for them. And years ago, I would say, no way, I can't have Cleveland win. No championships. It's Buffalo against Cleveland. These two Rust Belt cities, they've never won. And then I rooted for LeBron because it was just a great story. Now that they've won, I'm all about it. I'd love to see the Cavs take this thing home again. And for me, it's also, I don't like the Celtics. I don't like the Knicks, so it would fit. All right, today I'm going to see you. We're going to do this mock draft for BK. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, real quick. Hey.
Yeah.
You won't have to worry about the Browns beating the Bills to the Super Bowl. I can promise you that.
Okay, well,
you won't have to worry about that.
All right, good. That's safe to say right now. But I will be picking for the Browns at number 2 today in the mock draft for BKL. Tell everybody about what's coming up here today and the next little while on Buffalo Kickoff Live on Channel 4.
Yeah, so we've got the Buffalo Kickoff Live draft, mock draft show. That is going to air at 8 o'clock on WIVB+. All right, so this is kind of a new that we started in the last month or so, WIVB+. If you have a smart TV and you have Roku and Apple and all these different things, all you got to do is search on there, WIVB and the little plus symbol, and it'll pop up and you just click on it and download it. It's not unlike anything that like you do for Hulu or anything like that. You just download or Disney Plus, download it and it comes on. And then you'll see like all of our newscasts are on there. It's a whole new thing. It's a whole new way of life now. So you could just, everything's kind of on demand. And then you'll be able to watch our mock draft show. We go, you know, all the way down through the first round. We alternate picks. You know, Tim Graham's a part of it. Myself, you're on it. Our sports producer, Mike Courtney's a part of it. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Carl Jones is a part of it as well. You know, we alternate down through the first round, make our picks. And then we have a draft preview show. That's coming up on Wednesday. That is actually 7 to 7:30. That's going to be on Channel 4. So that's on our station. And then we have a draft recap show. That's going to be Sunday after the dust settles. And we can sit there and look at what they did, what they didn't do, what fans are thinking, you know, and we're going to do all that. That's going to also be 7 to 7:30. That's going to air on Channel 4 as well.
Awesome, buddy. Looking forward to it. I'll see you today. Thanks for giving your time today. I really appreciate it. And looking forward to seeing you today and, of course, over the next several weeks with the NFL draft and its coverage. Thanks again, man.
Absolutely, bro. Take care. I'll see you later on today.
All right, you got it. Josh Reed right there, Channel 4, IVB TV Sports Director. We got that mock draft coming up for BKL. Should be fun today. Yeah, I got the Browns at number 2. No spoiling. I'm taking Travis Hunter. Generational talent. I'll get into more of that when we talk about it on TV. But we got a lot more to do on radio today. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back after this. More on the draft. Plus, I want to, all right, I got a few things I got a lot on my mind right now. So we'll just take a timeout. We'll come back, and I'll tell you what it all is after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Line to right field on the run is Bellinger. He dives and makes the play. And the Yankees win 4-3 on a sparkler by Cody Bellinger. And the Yankees sweep the Royals.
Just going to play that on a loop for my friend Nate Geary. He's a big Royals fan. Yanks. I know.
Heck with the Yankees. I hate them, Sal. What are you talking about the Yankees for?
There's a lot of love or a lot of hate out there. I get it, right? I'm a Yankee fan. Happy to say. And last night, though, they had a sweeping series win, game-winning to sweep. They won, and they swept the Royals last night over a three-game series, and they needed that because they'd entered the game. They'd lost a series of the Giants, and they really needed it, and Judge hits a home run in the eighth. He went 10 games without a home run. He still got 7 already in the year, I think. So just shows you how good of a hot start he's been on. And I like this Yankees team. I do. They're going to have to grind some victories, though, like they have. They're just going to blow teams away early in the season. They get on that huge home run streak, and they can hit. But, man, when the power shortage is happening, you know, they have to figure out how to score some runs. But that's every team in a lot of ways. And obviously they're pitching, right? Just no Louis Heel right now for a little while. We know no Gerrit Cole all season. But Bellinger, boy, he has been really nice to have in the field. And then Paul Goldschmidt has been awesome at the plate for the Yanks. Paul Goldschmidt, what is up with this dude? He is, what is Paul Goldschmidt? How, let me just see his age. Is he 30? I want to get his right age here. I thought he was 34. He might be older than that. 37. 37 years old. He's off to a great start for the Yankees. And he's really helped stabilize their lineup a little bit here. He's hitting, 348 so far through this season. Now, Bellinger isn't hitting like that, but what he does is he can play anywhere in the field. And what the Yankees have done here, and this is really great, and I think why Judge is in for maybe another MVP season, the way he started off. He had another great night last night, Judge. But Judge now doesn't have to play center field as much because they have Trent Grisham, who's a good center fielder, and they have Bellinger, who can play right field. He can do a lot of different things. Judge normally plays right field, but they have options out there in right field, and Judge, A, doesn't have to play every night in the field. He does a lot still, mostly, but when he does, he's not playing center field, and that's less wear and tear on his body. So I just like the way this team is kind of made up about the parts. So that's been nice to see for the Yankees. Nice win last night for the Yankees, though. And I was looking over the MLB standings, and one of the things I do now, and I would do this occasionally, like over the years, but I do it a lot more now this year. I see where the Mets are because of Juan Soto. And I'm like, okay, what is Soto doing? And Soto leaving the Yankees and going to the Mets obviously was a bit of a gut punch. I like how the Yankees responded, what they did. Like I said, I think they've done a nice job of putting together a little bit of maybe a better team, actually, even though they don't have the high-end talent with Soto. But I am looking at Soto and look at the Mets, right? They have the exact same record. Yankees and Mets have the exact same record. Now, it's only been 18 games, each of them. They're both 11-7 after 18 games. Now here are the Blue Jays, 11-8, right behind the Yankees. Yanks now in Tampa tonight and for the next four games. And the Yankees are playing Tampa at the Yankees spring training site, Steinbrenner Field, because the Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg was damaged by the hurricane last year. It was damaged so severely they cannot play baseball there this year. So the Rays are actually playing their home games this year at Steinbrenner Field, where the Yankees have spring training. So the Yankees are going down there for an away game, an away series, but it's their home. And it kind of sucks for Tampa, right? I mean, like, I know, I'm a Yankee fan. Oh, this is great because it gives them a little bit more of a competitive advantage than they might have otherwise not had. I guess, maybe. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of Yankee fans anyway go to St. Pete, but it just kind of sucks for the Rays, you know, for that to have to happen, to play the Yankees like that. But that's what's happening now. And I've been looking at the standings. It's interesting. Yankees are tied right now with the Texas Rangers for the best record in the American League. If you go to the National League, I'd probably say to you, hey, who has the best record in the National League? Your first instinct might be, oh, it's the Dodgers. They had this incredible 8-0 start. They were great. They've actually gone, like, 8-6 since then. They're 14-6 overall. And here's what's crazy. Evan, do you follow baseball a lot? I don't even know. What team do you root for?
Oh, I'm a Yankee fan.
You are. Okay.
I don't follow baseball as much as you do.
Okay, no, but that's okay. Do you know if I told you this, how crazy is this? The NL West has three teams playing over 700 baseball. The Padres are 15-4. The Giants are 13-5. The Dodgers are 14-6. It's amazing.
I know. That wouldn't surprise me at all because I honestly think that the NL West has the best teams is probably the hardest division, and you just laid out the three big teams, the Dodgers.
It's crazy.
The Giants.
I mean, the Diamondbacks are really good. They're 11-7. They're 6-11 baseball, the percentage-wise. It's amazing.
They won the World Series a couple years ago.
That's right. That's right. And Torrey Lovullo has a Buffalo connection, married somebody from Buffalo. I used to be in the Bison's organization. So, man, the Padres, the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks. Man, that is a murderer's row of a division right there. And then you have the Rockies at 3-15. Joe has a Rockies bet. What is it? The Rockies won't win more than 60 games?
58 games, somewhere 58? Around there.
He's on track. They're 3-15 right now. 3-15. What are the Braves doing? 5-13. If you haven't looked at baseball standings, now these can flip. Baseball is so crazy, 162 games. They've only played less than 20. But just go look at some of the standings, and early on, you're always like, the Braves, all that talent. They're 5-13 right now. So anyway, getting into baseball a little bit, love watching. I whenever the Yankees are on, they're on somewhere in my house. Like last night, I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched a lot of it because I just make sure that I check in on it. We were watching some other things last night, and I've been watching some. Actually, I've been watching the OJ documentary on Netflix, which is a discussion for another day, maybe, but that is an amazing documentary, American Manhunt, if you haven't seen it. But I was checking in on the Yankees, then I saw, you know, the end of the game and all that. But I just, it's that time of year where it's on and I'll find my way to it because I like watching it. And I know it's not boring for me. It's something that kind of helps pass the time a little bit. Let's go to Jeff in Cheektowaga, who's chimed in here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I can't help but think I've been listening to the show. This is like year five where we're trying to constantly find someone to make Ed Oliver better. But to me, he's the problem. He's either undersized or underperforming, and it seems to be year after year we're trying to find somebody to play next to him to make him better. And it's like they've had 5 years to upgrade that position. So I don't know. I think being... Yeah. Has let us down in that regard.
It's a good point. No, it's a good point. I think you need more from Ed. There's no doubt. I agree with you. And at times, Jeff, he can be dominant, and he has been at times. I think the thing with that has been the consistency or the inconsistency, right, more than anything, because at times he can be a dominant player. He is definitely better with a player paired next to him. And I have no problem with that, but I still need him to be better when he doesn't necessarily have that player. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It seems to dominate their strategy in the offseason every year, trying to find somebody, and it affects the draft. It has like a trickle-down effect. It's like, upgrade Ed Oliver. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I get it. Let me look at thanks, Jeff, for the phone call. If you're looking at his contract for Ed Oliver, you know, he signed an extension a couple of years ago. He's under contract through 2027.
So he's got 3 more years left. I mean, they're not moving on from Matt Oliver. If they were to do that, like, now, after June 1st even, you're still taking on $10.3 million in dead cap. Now, next year, you designated a post-June 1 cut, like you do that in April next year, say he's post-June 1, you're still taking on $9 million dead, but you're saving $14.9 million. But you would have to take $9.2 million in dead cap for 2 straight years. I still don't think that's something they want to do. And a pre-June 1 cut would be a massive cap hit next year. So you're having it. Ed Oliver's on this team for a couple more years. And I don't disagree with what you said, Jeff. I do agree with that in principle, which is, instead of saying all the time, we got to find somebody to help Ed, how about Ed just plays better, right? Because we've seen the flashes. He can be dominant at times. It just wasn't there enough last year. It reminds me of this same conversation with Owen Power. What did Paul say when he came on at 10:30 this morning? They've been searching to find a good defensive pair for Owen Power. Well, I need Owen Power to be better. I need him to be the anchor. Okay, I'll even say it this way. And we all, it's not that it's hard to figure out what we're saying, but great example is Mike North on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, who talks about the schedule. He used to say, and he said that it used to be where the Bills would get a couple primetime games a year as kind of the second team to whatever team was the anchor to draw eyes. Now the Bills are the anchor. Like, it shifted. The Bills used to be, okay, well, we got to, okay, let's find a team to put the Bills with that, you know, we can put them with because the Bills aren't going to draw a lot of eyeballs. Oh, there's the Patriots primetime. Do it there. The Cowboys, right? Now it doesn't matter. The Bills are that team. We can put anybody with them. I need that to be Owen Power. I need that to be Ed Oliver. Good call, Jeff. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Thursday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Still have a question out there on Twitter that I can get to some answers that you chimed in on at Sal Sports. The question I asked to start the show was, is there a player in the draft that you've warmed up on and or cooled off on as this process has gone on? The draft is 1 week from tonight. Tonight, it's the Sabres, their final home game, their final game of the 2024-25 season, another season of missed playoffs. They play the Philadelphia Flyers tonight, pregame at 6, puck drops at 7. We got that going on tonight. We got Sabres Live coming up at noon today. But in the meantime, one final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show when we come back. All right, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP Golf Card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole, and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP Golf Card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP Golf Card today at GetMyPerks.com. Just about a minute to wrap up here. The NBA play-in tournament is so cool. It really is, right? I love it. It's just still confusing, kind of. For me, it still is. I mean, maybe for you out there, I don't know. I still have to refresh my memory every year. They've been doing it for a few years now. I have to refresh my memory every year now on how it actually works. Okay, wait. 9 plays 10. The loser is out. The winner goes to play the loser of 7-8. 7-8 winner is in. The loser goes to play the winner of 9-10. So it's not a direct, like, win and in. There's 3 games in the play-in tournament. And it's exciting as heck. It really is to know. But, I mean, you also get teams that are well under 500 with a 10 seed that can get in the playoffs. And that's okay, I guess. It does give you incentive at the end of the year to not just lose and get draft picks. And I like that part of it. So I'm not complaining about it at all. I wish there was a better way for me to remember it or a better way to streamline it or explain it. It just seems like every year it happens and I'm like, wait a minute, I have to remember again how this NBA play-in tournament works. But they finally have the first couple of games are down in the NBA play-in tournament. And now we have what? The Mavericks as the 10 seed are playing the Grizzlies, the 8 seed. And both sides, West and East, it's 10 against 8. Mavs against Grizzlies, they'll play off 1 game. Winner takes on the Thunder, loser out. Heat against Hawks, winner takes on the Cavs, loser's out. So anyway, that's the NBA play-in tournament. No play-in for the Sabres. They're out of the playoffs. Sabres Live will have more on their end-of-season final game tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. They're up next. Don't forget tonight, today, Chauvin the Bulldog, our draft show. coming your way. I'll be a part of it. I'm joining the guys at 4 p.m., but it's all Shope and Bulldog show long. The NFL mock draft show tonight. The draft show coming your way at 3 o'clock here on WGR. I'll talk to you tomorrow.